Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of This Is Investing. Today, we have an interesting show. Well, we haven't recorded it yet. I hope it's going to be interesting. I am joined by one of you, one of our active listeners, Max Ryan. And I posted a Facebook post, a couple months ago, to see who would be interested, who would want to chat. I would love to pick your brain. You maybe can pick my brain. And we can just have a good little conversation, a little fireside chat about what is interesting to you. So this is the first one in that series, and we are joined by Max Ryan. Max, you want to say hello?
It's good morning. Well, good morning here in Australia.
Good morning, Australia. Good evening in Ohio. I have a pork tenderloin on the smoker right now, so we got to keep this under 45 minutes so I do not overcook the meat and ruin dinner, and you need to get to breakfast, so we will get right into it. On today's episode, we're going to discuss information from Max's post on Facebook. We're going to talk about just different ETF ideas. We're going to debate the best practices of either dollar cost averaging or doing some lump sum investing. And then she has actually done some investing since we first started talking about the specific investment she was looking for. So we're going to discuss that. So I think we're in for a good episode. You're listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income stream, so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. This is Max Ryan. Let's get into it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, Max, welcome and good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Nice to talk, Nick.
So as we kicked off in the intro, we are going to be discussing kind of just really anything. It's an open book. I would love to just kind of have a good chat about anything you are interested in. That's really what it is. And listen, no pressure, but if this is a terrible episode, we probably won't do any others with the audience. So the entire This Is Investing audience shoulders rests on this episode going well, and I think it will, because our chat pre-hand, it seemed like you've got a good handle on the market, on finances, and I am excited to hear from you. Really, I talk so much about kind of just monologuing, you know, doing investment research, sharing kind of the stuff that I'm learning. And a lot of that ends up being a little bit more US skewed. And I don't get a lot of the kind of nuances maybe of the Australian market. So I'm actually looking forward to listening and hearing a little bit from you and things that you're looking at in the Australian market. And I think it'll be a good beneficial show for everybody. Does it sound like a plan?
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan and no pressure.
No pressure. So on the Facebook post a few months ago, the background that you gave me, and then I'll let you fill in the details. Your husband, you guys have a principal place of residence and then two investment properties. Is that still the case, or did you guys go gang wild and add a few?
No, that's still correct.
And was that your kind of your principal place of starting for investing? Like, are you more of a rental investor or a real estate investor, and then you're getting into the kind of stock market, or what does your balance look like?
So when we started out on the investment journey a few years ago, it was property. That's what we were looking at initially. We already had our house, which we lived in, so the principal place of residence, and we went and purchased two investment properties. One of those is actually a house, and the other one I would say is a townhouse.
Okay.
In two different locations in Australia.
Are they both drivable to you, or are they like different places around the country?
One of them is drivable. The other one is in a completely different state.
Gotcha. Was that the second one you got or the first one you got? I'm trying to get into the mindset of the investor here.
Yeah. So the first one we bought, we actually set out knowing that we had a certain amount of money to spend. And we could have thrown it all and bought one huge place in a drivable distance, I suppose. But we decided not to do that. So we got one that's a little bit further from where we currently live. And the rest of it we bought in another state of Australia, which is why we bought a townhouse rather than two actual houses.
And then do you mind sharing where your permanent residence is right now?
So I'm in Sydney.
And then the rental that is not near you, where is that at?
The one that's not near me is in Brisbane.
I'm going to pretend like I know where that is. That is north, right?
North, yes. So if you were to drive, maybe a 12-hour drive.
That's a bit much. Even for an American who, you know, looks like an hour-long commute like it's nothing. All right, so you've dumped in, you've settled yourself, you've got the investment properties, and I'm assuming you have management company at least for the further one. Do you guys self-manage the one nearer to you, or do you manage that out with the company also?
Yes, so we self-manage the one that's near to us, and the one that's in another state is managed by an agent.
I currently have one investment property left. I have had four in my lifetime. I've always self-managed. I did look at getting one further out, probably for the same type of circumstances. In northern Ohio, there was some beautiful old home, like old to America, not old to Europe. I guess it'd be old for Australia as well, because you guys are a young country. It was built in like the 1800s. Really cool old homes, and they were selling for like $75,000 a couple years ago. And I was just like, can I even pass up on this deal? Like, should I go buy some of these homes? But then I looked into kind of management fees and the yield on the investment. I didn't really plan very well thinking that it was going to appreciate as much as it has. And I looked the other day, and this house is on the market for $250,000 when just 3 years ago I could have bought it for $75,000. But I was looking at just the rental value because it didn't look like in this part of America that it was going to appreciate that much. When you went and bought this rental property kind of further out from Sydney, were you looking for rental income as the primary source, or were you looking for appreciation as your main concern?
Yeah, so the one that's further out of Sydney is more the rental income. The one that's in Sydney was more purchased for capital growth. So the Sydney market is booming, I guess, as far as the rest of our country is concerned. Brisbane's caught up quite a lot as well, but at the initial time that we've made the purchase, that was for the rental income.
Cool. All right, let's get away from this is property. I don't want to step on John Pigeon's toes. We will start talking about ETFs, stocks, and the market. So the other thing that you'd mentioned in the Facebook post is you guys had saved up cash and you're having it in a savings account and you were looking to dump a whole chunk of it into ETFs. Can you tell me what ETFs you were looking at the time? And I know that you've actually started making some of those purchases. So let's kind of, I will pull up my handy pen, write some of these down and see if I can do some quick research and give you my opinion on your investing philosophy so far.
Okay, sure. So with ETFs, I was, you know, listening to quite a lot of podcasts, doing a fair bit of reading, and talking to a few, I guess, friends or colleagues who do similar sort of investing into ETFs and things like that. And what I ended up going with was VAS, which is the Australian-based ETF, I suppose, for our share
Vanguard
market.
Vanguard Australian.
And IVV. Yes, correct. And IVV.
So have you taken your verbiage on Facebook post was ready to dump a whole chunk of it into ETFs. What chunk of that, what percentage of the chunk that you have allocated in your mind for the ETFs have you invested so far for that?
Half of it.
Okay.
I have, yes. So a few tens of thousands.
So the VAS, the Vanguard Australian Shares Index ETF, with a 0.07%. Do you like how I'm pulling this off? It's almost like I had a little bit of research ahead of time and I've got another screen in front of me. 0.07% fee, $12.7 billion under management. Looking at the S&P ASX 300, obviously great broad-based passive, like that's in my bread and butter of indexes and passive management kind of ideas that, you know, I'm obviously following many, many, many. Like Warren Buffett says, most people shouldn't try to pick stocks. They should just go with the broad market and call it a day. And then IVV, you're looking at, you know, the 500 best American companies that are out there, at least the 500 largest American companies that have been included in the S&P 500 index. So that is the majority of my retirement account is dumped into the S&P 500 index. So obviously, I think that was a good choice. What was your kind of philosophy by picking those two outside of talking to friends? Did you kind of have a top four list and then you narrowed it down to those two? Like how did those two become the winners of your search?
So I had probably a top maybe four list because I had the other Vanguard High Growth in there as well. And I had left field, which was its ACDC.
Okay, which love is, the name.
I still might put something into that one just to see what happens. That one is battery.
Like lithium stuff?
Correct. Yes. Haven't done anything with that one yet. But at the moment, so I've got 60% in IVV, 40% in VAS. Those are the percentages that I'm going with. And I guess the reason I selected those two is I'm just trying to diversify a little bit more, because obviously we've got properties and things which are already inside the Australian market, and was looking a bit beyond that.
And I didn't ask, is all of this outside like your super accounts? This is just taxable brokerage kind of stuff?
Yes.
So the Global X Battery Tech, which is the ACADACA, the ACDC, I heard the some friends from Equity Mates discussing that ETF. That's why I was pretty quick to thinking, I'm pretty sure I know what that one is. And obviously we like Global X on this show. Was there a thought of taking like a small portion of the, you know, 60-40 blend and maybe making it a 35-65% blend? What was your kind of decision to not get into the lithium world at the moment?
I thought I'd just go with, I guess, what I would say is your more traditional ones first up, which is the VAS and IVV, before I start branching out into the unknown. Yeah. But the, I don't know, just, I guess, personal opinion sort of for the lithium battery kind of thing and the way of the world was thinking, oh, that might be a nice to have just on the side, just more of a play kind of investment to see what happens.
Yeah. Listen, good thought. I like getting into the mindset of, you know, Glenn and I are writing a investing book. Actually, we've written the book. It's being published right now and kind of put through. It comes out, I think I can say this. It doesn't matter. I'm saying it. It comes out July 31st in the Australian market. And a lot of what you're discussing here, like your kind of strategy with a two-fund portfolio as the core base of your investing strategy, and then maybe a small piece of something that interests you, almost like a thematic investing, like the ACDC is following the trend of, you know, you're looking at today as we record this, Tesla has just dropped their earnings for the first quarter. Obviously, they're one of the biggest buyers of lithium batteries out there. The world is becoming more electric car friendly. It seems like the thought of using something like the Global X Battery Tech is a good place to look. And I think you're very wise at thinking a small piece to look. And you never know. Maybe you just keep it on your watch list, continue to watch kind of the price, see what goes on. It looks like they've got almost a $30 swing from the price. You know, so the 52-week low is trading at $81 a share. The 52-week high is almost 108, and right now it's trading at 92. So right now you're kind of in the middle of that buy frame, so maybe just put that on the watch list to see, you know, what happens. But I like that idea as a smaller piece of a potential, what would I would kind of call a core and satellite approach, where you've got your two nailed down, the 60-40 with the IVV and the VAS, and you've got, what, some other money on the sidelines, right? Because you just said this was 50% of that money allocated, so you are immediately kind of get into the dollar cost average. Is the plan to do two lump sum kind of dollar cost average buys, or are you, what's your trigger point? What are you looking for to invest the other 50% into the ETFs?
So I think I was just sort of wanting to watch these to see how they go. But I have, I guess my intention is probably each month to put a little bit more into each of those and in the same apportionment. So there's still this sort of 60-40. And that's, so I've done that already for a couple of months.
So it's been a pretty standard then.
Keep adding.
Yeah, month by month, building up into that until you finally fulfill into the history is on your side, right? Like that, I think you can do lump sum as long as it's really long-term money. Investing in those two broad-based index ETFs is going to be a winning strategy for the long term. Was that a part of you and your, I don't know if you included your husband in on these decisions, or you're like, guess what, honey? We took the monies out of the savings. It's in the ETFs, and this is what we did. But like a part of your planning for that, does this money have an earmark? Does it have a time frame? What went into the thought of those kind of thoughts?
So it's long term. So not looking at taking anything out of it anytime soon. So sort of 10 years plus. It's obviously money that we had saved up that wasn't doing anything with it at that particular point in time. So best to put it into something.
Listen, I love everything I'm hearing. I like the strategy you had saved. You had already kind of did something you were comfortable with, building residences, getting two investment properties, picked some great ETFs. You know, obviously wouldn't hate if you decided to throw a little bit into ACDC, but all you ever did was dollar cost averaging into VAS and IVV, I think you are setting yourself up very well for the 10 years plus time horizon. We're going to take a quick break real quick, and then we want to talk about portion number two of the Facebook post that we talked about. You've been saving some money, putting aside some money for your daughter in a bank account, and just trying to figure out what to kind of do with that. So after the break, we will discuss that portion to see if her daughter will be as financially secure as Max and her husband are. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, welcome back. Again, we are in our first of hopefully many, which are Meet the Listeners. And we're sitting with Max Ryan, and we have discussed her brilliant, I would say, plan so far of dollar cost averaging into some passive indexed broad-based ETFs. Again, ETF number one, 40% so far that she has put in is the VAS, which is the Vanguard Australian Share Index ETF, which again is the ASX 300, and then IVV, which covers the S&P 500, which is the 500 largest companies in America, 40% to VAS, 60% to IVV. You know, sounds a lot of what I've been doing, what I've been preaching, what I've been talking about, thinking if more people just trust the index, trust the passive kind of platform, it takes a lot of the fear out of investing. You can sleep well at night. I mean, if something really goes wrong with IVV or VAS, something has gone really wrong with the world, and I don't think having that money in just the savings account is going to save you from what would be the problems if those two particular funds went sour. So they're very safe funds. They're going to give you a solid return. Just, you know, nitpicking, you're looking at least a 9 probably plus percent return over year over year over the next 10 years with those particular two. And now we're going to shift the conversation, because you had talked about having a chunk of money put aside for your daughter, and that money had been just sitting in the bank and it was eating away at interest. So you were thinking about putting some money into ETFs for her and the rest into investment bonds, as the Facebook post says. As I mentioned before, this we've been having kind of side conversations and trying to get something scheduled with the 16 plus hour time change between us. So what is the situation right now with your daughter? Let's talk about one, how old is she? And then two, what are your thoughts on those investments?
Yep, great. So I have, we have one daughter. She's 12. The way we started this is when she was born, my father actually opened a bank account for her, put some money in, sort of a lot of grandparents, I don't know, tend to do that type of thing. And we've, thanks Dad, we've taken that bank account and have been putting a small amount of money from every single paycheck that I've received since I went back to work after she was born. So for 12 years, we've had, you know, $100 every couple of weeks go into that bank account, and that's built up. And we have been getting slammed with some withholding tax and things like that because of the amount of interest that's getting earned now on that bank account. So it's no longer worth keeping that amount of cash just sitting there. I've been looking at a couple of different things of what to do with that money. I've taken half of it so far since we last spoke.
I love that. Take half from the kids. I was saving for you, but mommy needed a new Mercedes. Sorry, go ahead. You took half and you already invested it. Yeah. Oh, you're a good mother. Yes. I'm sorry. I have two kids and I'm thinking about cleaning out their college funds to learn tennis, but go ahead. Back to you.
Yes, so I've taken half of that money from her bank account and put it into investment bonds, which are in her name. So that will sit there, and the other half is still sitting in the bank account, and I'm deciding what to do with that.
When you say investment bonds, is that an ETF, a mutual fund, or like strictly like a coupon bond?
It's investment bonds. So the company that I've used is called GenLife in Australia. And when I've put them into that investment bond, you are able to select the vehicle that they are going to use to put that money into. So for the bond, I've put that into the Vanguard High Growth option.
I don't know if you can see it on my face, but this is a confused face. This must be there. I think this is a difference maybe between like American structures and Australian structures. Bond to me is like a 10-year debt note that you give a company money and then they say, we're going to give you 5, 6, 7, 8% guaranteed money and we give your money back after 10 years. But you're saying you gave half this money to a company and they put that into an ETF?
It's not actually called an ETF. It had, I'd have to look it up. Perhaps I'll do that while we're talking.
Okay, no pressure.
It was a Vanguard High Growth, but it wasn't strictly ETF. I will check that one out. But that's, I guess, sort of what I have elected at the moment. I can change that if I need to. But that is in Australia, it's more the 10 years. There's no guaranteed return at the end of 10 years, like you were referring to. But it's more for there's tax advantages. Sure. So I don't have to do, there's no tax return.
While you were talking, I was typing. So Generation Life, I'm on their website now, genlife.com.au, not a sponsor, but we're up to it if you want to talk. Investment bonds for tax-effective investment solutions tailored for your life. What are investment bonds? Investment bonds are designed to provide a tax-effective investment solution to your real-life challenges. How do you build wealth and tax effectively? Again, I'm just reading from the thing. This is not a proposal. So it's talking about giving children financial security and passing wealth on to your kids. So interesting. Maybe I'll have to do some research and a possible episode on these particular bonds because it's, just kind of different verbiage. And I'm sure all the Australians are like, Nick, you bozo. Like, obviously, that's a very structured place, but new information to me. So not just like bonds as in what I was thinking where it's a structured note and you're getting your money back, but a different vehicle, a more tax-favored solution for your daughter. So, and then they have kind of selected some things from there. So the other half, what are you thinking about that? Is that maybe it's going to go into that structure also, or do you not worry about the tax as much?
Well, those ones, I'm actually leaning to shares.
Okay, yeah. Like single shares?
Yes, as in picking, a couple of companies and just putting the money in there. I don't know why. I guess I just sort of thought, well, I've kind of got a lot of other things covered.
She's young. She's got time on her hands. It seems like maybe a little bit more risky single shares or at least perceived risky shares could be a good solution there.
Yeah. So that's what I'm leaning towards at the moment. I haven't done anything on that one yet. I've just been adding, similar to what you said earlier, I've got a watch list. I've added a few companies to that list.
Do you mind sharing some of them?
I just have to look.
Okay, yeah, go for it. While you're looking those up, I will pick your brain a little bit more. Do you have a specific kind of area that you, and I guess when we hear the company names that will answer this question, but are you more into like dividend investing, dividend growth investing on the shares? Like, are you looking, obviously you're probably not looking to get income right now. Like that's not a worry. So you're probably looking for maybe some big growth. What could be the future? So therefore you just bought NVIDIA and you called it a day, right? Piece of cake.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. So not looking at receiving an income from those. It's just for growth and any dividends that would be earned will just be reinvested.
Yeah, I'm all ears. Let's hear this watch list.
So I have West Farmers Limited, which is an Australian company, fairly large. I once upon a time worked for them and I wish I'd kept the shares that I had when I worked for them a few years back. So they're on the watch list. I've got a few of the banks, of our big banks within Australia. I have JB Hi-Fi, which is a electrical, good type music TVs, that type of store.
Like an actual retailer?
Yeah. A retailer, yes. I have it's a chain that used to own a whole series of chemists in Australia, but they've branched out to, I don't know, I don't actually know what they do now, but that was a recommendation
and chemists,
from someone that I know.
Chemist for any Americans listening would be a pharmacy, right? Yeah.
Correct, yes. Yes, a pharmacy.
It sounds like you are looking at buying a company that is holding people hostage. they own particular people. That's not allowed anymore. Anyway, let's move
on. You know, people are getting older. Yeah. There's an older population now and they need more medicine. Yeah. So sort of that's my thinking anyway. And I've got one of our airlines because I'm just, which is Qantas, to see.
That's my favorite Australian airlines. I've flown Qantas and Virgin. I liked Qantas better. Again, not a sponsor, but hey, Qantas, if you're listening, I'm in. So all these shares you're looking for, at least on that list, are Australian domiciled or based?
They are, yes.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Stick to the hometown players. In the book that Glenn and I wrote, I did write a chapter on what I look for in investing in shares. Maybe I will sneak peek you a little pre-copy if you want to look at kind of the things that when I'm looking at buying individual shares, interesting things, you know, I'm looking at cash flow for companies. I'm looking at their gross return. As any good Warren Buffett follower, you're looking at what is the intrinsic value and what is the margin of safety. So I'll send you a little website and you can plug those tickers into the website and it will at least tell you if the margin of safety and the intrinsic value are on point. It does the quick calculation for you and that can at least get you started and you can be interested and be like, hey, maybe one of them is a great buy right now. I did that the other day. A company called Altria Group, which sells cigarettes, which isn't necessarily the best kind of company to look at investing because I don't propose smoking cigarettes, but they have a great dividend value. So I was looking at them the other day and I was like, I don't know, it's like, is $43 per share a good price right now? Plugged it in and is actually under their intrinsic value and within a margin of safety. So they have perked my interest with their 9.8% dividend is pretty solid right now for an American style company. So anyway, I'll shoot that over to you if you want to plug in your ticker symbols to help you do a little bit more research to figure out maybe one of them is a good buy right now. Maybe it's something you want to do.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Lastly, let's cover three quick hitters. How long have you been a part of like the My Millennial, now rebranded to This Is Money community?
Maybe about a year.
Okay, cool. And you have a full-time job. You are gainfully employed. If your employer's listening, we don't want to ask if you're happy at that job. Give us a high level of what you do like on a day-to-day.
Yeah. I'm 40 years old, married, one child who's 12 that we spoke about, work full-time. So my husband and I both work full-time for quite large companies. I do work in finance. I'm not a financial planner, however, so this is not my specialty. But I have background training of a few bits and pieces of things. And in generally, obviously, because I work in that industry, I'm quite interested just naturally in knowing all about money. How to control money, how to spend money, and how to save money and invest money, of course. So day to day, I am in charge of the finance function for a large company, which involves everything that you could think of. So obviously, tax, treasury, accounting, finance, planning, all of the above. So that keeps me quite busy.
And then you just decided, hey, I'm going to start doing my own individual share buying and my own research and going from there. Is that like a side passion or like what made you really kind of make the leap from, hey, taking the money out of my daughter's account and you know we've got our residential, like I want to get more invested and it seems like you don't have a whole lot of time. How much of this investing takes up of your, I don't know, your post-work time, your post-work hobbies?
So I guess with podcasts definitely help. So for any of your listeners out there, I probably do the same as them. So I'm listening to podcasts when I'm driving to the office, catching the train to the office, going for a walk. I actually spend time when I go to the gym instead of listening to music like everyone else does. I'm listening to podcasts. So information in is information out. Everything helps. And I've always been interested in money, which is why I went into finance. So just this is, you know, obviously a little bit of a different feel to what I normally do. But in terms of my investing, I'm, I guess, fairly active in terms of checking on the market, watching what's going on. I have in Australia, we have what's called the Australian Financial Review, which is our sort of, it was a newspaper, it's still a newspaper, but now people tend to subscribe online and get updates from there. So that's how I keep updated.
Great. I do the same thing by listening to investing podcasts when I work out, except for only when I'm on the stair stepper, when I'm doing cardio stuff. And then when I go to lifting weights, I have to change, or else like I'll get tired and lazy and won't actually. I'm listening too much to the podcast and not enough to what I actually need to be doing. All right, final question for our fabulous guest, Max Ryan, today on This Is Investing. Today, the S&P 500 closed New York hours at 5,560, which is actually had a really good day today. It's up 1.19, which is a lot for a one-day move. Is it going to end 2024 above 5,000, below 5,000, or right at 5,000? What does your crystal ball tell you?
Well, the way of the world, everyone's gone a little bit crazy lately.
They certainly have.
I'll just go within the middle.
She's going to go right at 5,000? Is that, we're going to book that answer. I'm going to say...
Let's book that one.
Right below. I'm going to say the year closes at 49.95. Fun fact as we close up today, and thank you so much for hopping on the mic in an early morning before you head to work. There have been three times where the S&P 500 has had a more than 10% gain in the first 3 months of the year, and it did not then go gangbusters afterwards. So the odds are that the S&P 500 will close above 5,000, and you and I are both wrong. I hope for both of our sakes, since we're both invested in the S&P 500, that we are wrong and that it's well over 5,000. But it's an election year and the world is going crazy, as you mentioned, and who knows. So for our investment portfolios, I hope that we're both wrong and the odds are against us. But as we said, you never know what's going to happen. Max Ryan, thank you so much for hopping on. I think you are doing great things for the family and the financial health for your family. Your daughter seems to be a lucky gal with mom taking care of her money so well, with the both investment bonds and then looking into some single shares. I'd love to follow up in a few weeks or months and see if you've bought any individual shares and what you bought. And then just kind of, you know, maybe off camera, offline, see how it's going so I can follow her journey. But again, thanks so much for hopping on with us. You want to say a shout out to grandma or, you know, anybody else while we got you on the line?
I don't know. Just shout out in general to all my friends who I talk their ears off and talk about ETFs and all those exciting things all the time.
Great. Hey, iron sharpens iron. Keep out there. Keep talking about investments. Keep listening to the podcasts while you work out, specifically any podcast in the This Is Money family. Hey, thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income streams so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. This has been Max Ryan. We'll see you next week. This podcast is produced and published by Oregon Trail Investor in the USA. All information is for entertainment purposes only. The brand This Is Investing is used under license.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.